Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we will continue our teaching on the ministry gifts and their purpose. Again, the ministry gifts and their purpose. So if you have found Ephesians 4, please go to verse number 11. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. But before I begin, just let me explain that we here at Kansas City Christian Faith Center, we consider our ministry a teaching ministry. Preaching is inspirational, but teaching is informational. We believe that if you get the information that God has provided for us, then you will be successful in every area of your life. Amen. So we are a teaching ministry. So our foundational scripture says that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We have to understand the faithfulness to the call because God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make failures or plan spiritual failures. Whether we are individually members of Christ or we are called to be a ministry gift, God did not call some to be failures and some to succeed. If so, He would be a respecter of people, and we know He doesn't show partiality. God only sees us as He sees Himself, a success and nothing else. Now, last week, I gave you 4 points that, if applied, I believe will assist you in your ministry. And those points were, 1, study. Study. Preparation time is never lost time. Remember when you were in school and a big test was coming up? Well, you had to study to prepare yourself, your notes, and all your information that you have received during the class to prepare for that exam. Well, it's the same way with the Word of God. You have to prepare yourself by studying the Word of God. Remember, preparation time is never lost time. Your amount of study will determine the degree of your success in your ministry. Now, please go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading this particular scripture. I'm going to give you the scripture in a minute. And I'm going to be reading it from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible. And so it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, work hard so God can approve you. So wait a minute. It's telling you to work hard so God can approve you, not so man can approve you or your wife can approve you or your friends can approve you or your pastor can approve you. No, it says work hard so God can approve you. And then it goes on to say, be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Amen. So we see here, if you work hard, God can approve you and be a good worker. Because we know there's some people that are lazy. They're just not good workers. Amen. And who does not need to be ashamed. Because when you study and God approves you, you have no reason to be ashamed. And you can correctly explain the word of truth. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we are explaining the word of God in a simplistic manner, but correctly. Amen. And then secondly, we have to be dedicated. We have to be dedicated. Dedication is a set apart for a sacred use of the word of God. Now, please go to Romans chapter 12. Again, that's Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1-2. And it says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, let's stop right there. It says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God can't use nothing dead. So our bodies, we have to be a living sacrifice. And what we mean by that, our actions, the way our life will shine, the way people look at us will determine our bodies in terms of the life that it projects to other people. Amen. So it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, one that is set apart, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That is our reasonable service. Amen. And then in verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, because this is a dying world controlled by Satan. Amen. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have to be transformed or made anew by the renewing of our mind, because that's the first place Satan wants to attack us, in our mind, with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. But it says, but do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Amen. And then the third point is consecration. Along with the call goes a consecration of the word of God. Amen? And then the fourth point is submit to the will of God. Submit to the will of God. Along with the call goes a submission to the will of God. Please turn to the book of James, chapter 4. Again, that's James, chapter 4. And we're going to read verse number 7. James, chapter 4, verse number 7. And it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that word flee means he will actually run from you. But you have to first submit unto God. When you submit to God, you are telling God that you are willing to go all the way with him. Amen. You're willing to go all the way. The gifts of ministry are manifold in the wisdom of God, and his purpose is that it might be known to the church, the body of Christ. Amen. Known to us. These gifts are for our use. It's for us to grow in the things of God. It is God's divine plan that each ministry gift provide a check and balance to correct and complement the other. Amen. So these gifts check and balance each other and support each other in the word of God. The body of Christ needs to realize that Christ gave us a diversity of ministry gifts. Amen. To the church for a reason. We serve a purpose-driven God. God doesn't do anything just off the spur of the moment. What God does, he does for a purpose. Just as scripture supports scripture, all of these gifts are essential in order for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to come unto the full stature of Christ. Amen. See, the ultimate goal for all ministry, the ultimate goal that Christ wants for his church is to unite, not divide. We should be united in everything that we do when it comes to the body of Christ. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's see what the scripture says about this, being united. Ephesians 4, and let's read verse number 13. And it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That scripture says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. So God wants all the ministry gifts and all the body of Christ to come into the unity of the faith. And let me tell you the interesting thing about this. We can do it. We can do it. The only reason why we haven't done it now is because we don't want to do it. Amen. Because we have denominations and we have other individuals that are holding back because they're being tricked by Satan to do other things that are contrary to the word of God. Amen. And so they refuse to unite. Amen. And it's a sad thing. God wants the church united as one. There are too many schisms in the body of Christ, brought on by man himself. And many of these men are believers, or they claim to be believers, but their issue is they haven't learned to submit totally to the word of God. See, when you're dealing with the things of God, you have to totally submit to the will of God. I didn't say perfect, because none of us are perfect, but you can be obedient to the submission of the things of God. Amen. When you're in total submission to the Father, that means you are completely understanding his will. completely understanding his will. Amen. Now please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because these ministry gifts, there is a qualification that one must have in order to be effective in these ministries. Amen. And we're going to look at these qualities right now. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to begin with verse number 1. And it says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, it says if a man desires the position of a bishop. Now, a bishop is not a ministry gift, but I believe these qualifications, you can use them across the board. If they're good for a bishop, then they're just as good for the fivefold ministry gifts. Amen? So let's look at these qualifications. It says, therefore, is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Verse number 5. It says, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? That's interesting. If you can't take care of your immediate family, how are you going to take care of a group of strangers? Amen. With all different personalities, needs and wants and desires. You can't do it. Verse number 6. It says, not a novice, least being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Verse 8, it says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mysteries or the hidden truths of the faith with a pure conscience. It says, but let these also first be tested. So he says, let those be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Then it addresses the wife. Then it talks about the wife, because even though the wife is not called to one of these ministry gifts, she is the wife of the person who has been called to one of these ministry gifts, and she is his helpmate. So she has some qualifications that she has to have also to be an obedient wife. It says, then it addressed the wife, because you are in it with your husband. Like my wife, when I got called, she wasn't called. But about several months later, I can't remember how many months later, she was called to the office of a teacher. Amen. So we're in this together. And then it says, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. So we see here the wife has some qualifications also. Then verse number 12, it says, let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. Amen. Now, although these were qualifications for an overseer, a bishop, and a deacon, I believe that these same qualifications can be applied to all the ministry gifts across the board. What's good for one is good for the other. You know the old saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Well, if these qualifications are good for a deacon, and a bishop and an overseer, well, they're certainly good for the fivefold ministry gifts. Amen. Now, would you please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 11 again. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles. Now, some apostles. So what is an apostle? So an apostle by definition simply means one sent forth, or a messenger, or an ambassador. It simply means one who has been sent forth, a messenger, or an ambassador. Don't get hung up on these words, because see, Satan wants to get you hung up and then use you and come against your mind and say, you're an apostle, you're better than this person. And you're not. Everybody's the same plane. None of these positions are greater than the other. Amen. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 3, and let's look at this a little bit more closely. I think this verse will clear up what I mean about who the apostle really is. Hebrews 3, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. Now it says, consider the apostle. It didn't say one of the apostles. It says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Hey, wait a minute. He's the apostle and the high priest. And then it goes on to say, who was faithful to him who appointed him. So Jesus was the apostle. He was sent to the world. His message was victory through him and everlasting life. Amen. His ambassadorship was showing and leaving a legacy that we can have victory in this dying world. Amen. Now, please go with me to 1 John chapter 4. Again, that's 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read verse number 4. We can have victory in this dying world. 1 John 4:4, and it says, you are of God, little children, and overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. So the spirit that is in us is greater than the spirit that's in this world. Amen. And we have to know that. Now, you're there in 1 John. Go to chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. And we're going to read verse number 4. And it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Let's read that again. It says, for whatever, or that should be, whomever is born of God overcomes the world. And then it says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Amen. Because the scripture tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, although apostles hear the list of the ministry gifts in Ephesians 4 and 11, that does not mean it is the most important ministry gift in the local body today. Nor does it mean that apostles are to dominate over other ministry gifts in the body of Christ. The most significant statement of fact in the Bible regarding this office is that it was filled by Christ himself. When we read in Hebrews 3:1, it said, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of a sent one. Amen. I don't know anyone greater. Do you know one? Please let me know. I would like to know. Now, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. And we're going to read verse 21. And it says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Amen. So it says, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also have sent you." Now, that word peace, the Hebrew term for peace is shalom. And it means something a little bit different. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. It doesn't mean to stop a war or to not have a war in operation, but it means to be hold in every area of your life. But you know what? I am just about out of time for today's teaching, but you know what? I am certainly not out of message. So would you please join us next week when we will continue our teaching on the gifts of the ministry or the ministry gifts. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.